guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I know you don't have to tell me you have a fabulous, a marvelous, a wonderful. How many? Okay, let's find two more adjectives. A fun and fulfilled. Full, you know, you got to be full. You have to feel that you have fulfilled a task today. Because guess what? You're in the process of obtaining your purpose in life. And I just love it, love it, love it. I am Dr. Renee Sunday, and I have the awesome opportunity of being your host of Good Deeds Radio Show. You know, what we do in a nutshell, all the things I do on my brand is, guess what, to help you shine your light to the world. And people say, Dr. Sunday, what you mean by light? Your light is your dreams, your goals, your passions, and actually, guess what, the reason you were created. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is amazing. And also, when you do that, you actually share your message with the world. That's what you're doing. And we do that through radio, television, through our publishing company, actually through our nonprofit organization, all the events and things that we have. That's what we do. We help you shine your light to the world. And also, that's your message. But let me tell you, the question that was sent in to me today, not today, but for today, a young lady asked, and I'm seeing like my target market is niching on down, okay? But this was a millennial, so I really, really enjoyed that millennials that listen, you know, live or to the archive. She wanted to know, being a millennial, and I'm like, okay, how can I make my brand or establish my brand that people can stand off and say, they do things in the spirit of excellence? And I'm like, wow. And she also added that she admired the things that I put on social media. I think she said she's mostly on Instagram. And she said, well, Dr. Sunday, why are you not on Snapchat? And so she got me correct. So we'll be on Snapchat very soon. My niece is taking care of that. The millennials, FYI, brand owners, you know, business owners, that's where they are mostly. Not too much Facebook now, the millennials, okay? So if you notice, we kind of noticed that in our brand as well. But anyway, the question was, how can you look at someone on Facebook and really and truly see that they actually are authentic, that they actually are true to their brand? So I had an answer, right? Of course. No, in my meditation, I did get an answer, and actually it's what I say all the time. The three things you got to have in your business, your personal life, and everything is, number one, is compassion. And you know that's love. You got to actually be passionate to people. You got to have compassion. You actually need to show love. And that's, if you translate that, business owner, that is actually your mission statement. Why are you doing this? Okay, are you doing, I mean, let's just be real. Some people doing it for money. Some people doing it for XY family legacy. Some people may be doing it for all different reasons. But anyway, that's number one, compassion, love, you know, because you know I can go in because it's my area. And then number two is you got to be consistent. Yeah, you can't be one time doing this and one time doing that. And people ask me, how you do so many things? Well, if you look at it, my brand, what it does, I'm the platform builder, and now people are calling me the be seen, be heard, get paid expert, okay, which is fine. So that's what we do. We help you. We got to be built first. You got to have your mind right first, and then we actually have strategies and tools and things to help you be seen, what, be heard, and get paid. So that's it. You got to be consistent in the things you do. And so you know one day you can't be building a house, and the next day you coaching people, for instance, on – let's say making dolls. You know, I'm just saying is things that sort of extreme. And you know, you just have to keep things in the spirit of excellence, like the question was. Now, the last thing is, and I didn't put this in any particular order, is you got to be authentic. I mean, you can tell by the posts people put on social media, are they being true or not? Now, some of them you may not know until you do a business with them when they, you know, let's say they call in late, they never do what they agreed that they were going to do. They not even talking about the money part, because you know if they don't pay the invoice, you know where you at, okay? If they don't sign the contract or even inquire about the contract. I mean, I can go in on that, but I'm going to keep it limited because we got to get our guests on. But if you want more information, if you have a question, it's ask Dr. Renee. And we actually building a lot of questions on that. So things that you want to ask questions on, please ask the questions. I'll be honest with you, if it's not in my expertise, what I do is I research it because I love to read. If you're not a reader, please become a reader. I love to read. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to give us a call. You can actually do it through our website, which is reneesunday.com. Or you can actually do it through our email, which is renee@getpurposenow.com. But we don't want to delay because we want to get our guests in. My team is saying that there's correspondence with the guests, and so they'll find our guests in the queue somewhere here. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break, and they'll do that for me, and we'll be right back. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.
This is John Schamberger, founder and CEO of Millionaires of Trainings Only. We are proud to support and listen to Good Deeds Live every Mondays and Thursday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time with your host, the platform builder, Dr. Nate Sunday. So remember, wherever your mind can conceive and believe in your purpose, it can achieve. And don't stop. Get it.
I just love that. That's one of our premium sponsors for the, you know, actually throughout the whole thing, everything we do, pretty much Mr. John Schamberger, Millionaires and Trainers Owners Only, he supports us heavily with that. So we truly, truly appreciate that. If you want information about our advertising sponsorship, to be a guest, if you want us to shoot some things through social media, because we have some strategies with that, please see again on our website, which is reneesunday.com. Or you can inbox us and we'll send you the information for that. But we actually have an awesome young lady here with us this afternoon, morning, afternoon, depending on where you are and when you listen, if you're here live or if you actually listen to our archive. We actually have an awesome, awesome young lady that's here with us. She's a CEO, founder, I mean, you know, author, all of these things, speaker. She actually will actually get you in power and get you out where you are. If you're in a situation, ask the kids, say situation, she's going to keep it 100, and she's going to actually help you, empower you, that you can actually move forward in life. And that's what we do. We all have to push people sometimes. You have to have someone that actually is pushing you to your destiny, pushing you in the things that you have in your heart that's burning on a daily basis. But we want to welcome none other than Rebecca Higgins to Good Deeds. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to Good Deeds. How you doing?
I'm awesome, Dr. Renee Sunday. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, woo, you know, tell us a little bit more about yourself and the awesome things that's going on in your life.
Okay, well, first of all, you know, I want to reverence God, because he's definitely the head of my life. I want to thank him for you, Dr. Renee Sunday, the platform builder, for extending to me an invitation to come on this platform, your platform that God has gifted you with, and to talk on a topic which is dear to my heart, which is leadership. And just to share a little bit about me, I'm a 22-year veteran educator who has certification in multiple states. I reside in Columbia, South Carolina, Lexington, South Carolina, with my family, my daughter and my group, my daughter Andresia Simone, and my grandson Zion Carter. And I have a business. I'm a CEO and founder of the Leader Circle University. We're currently rebranding, previously preparing everyone to succeed international. And we are a consultant company. We work with principals, we work with women leaders, we work with organizational leaders, helping them to create a strategic plan of improvement to transform their underachieving organization or failing schools into an F school or high performing organization in 9 months or less. Now, two things are going to happen: their influence and their incomes are going to increase, and they will be able to live the life of their dreams. So, in addition to all of that, I've authored a book, 8 Principles to Creating a High Performance Organization, which I delineate the 8 steps that any organizational leader can effectively and efficiently implement in order to transform that failing organization into a high-performing one in 8 months or less. And I'm a leadership and personal development strategist. So, yeah.
Wow.
Can you hear me?
I have to do this because, you know, a lot of people, and I'm not, of course, not putting it on you because you're going to give us the right answer and direction, but I hear people talk about leadership all the time. I mean, we can even say secular and also non-secular. I hear people throw out the word leadership, and I get a lot of questions, and I know you do as well, being a strategist. Let's come way back to whatever we used to say in school, 098 class, because a lot of people, and you're going to help us, and I'm so glad you're going to do this, tell us exactly when someone says leadership, what really should be in our mind when someone says leadership. And then also touch briefly on, because I know we could talk a good while on this one, what is the components of actually being a true leader?
Okay, awesome. When we look at the word leadership, of course, we know that it is a noun. And the root word in there is leader. And a leader is someone who is in command or in charge of an organization. And so when we're talking about the components or the qualities of an effective leader, first of all, I want to say that an effective leader is a servant leader, because the word of God says this: he who wants to be great in the kingdom, in the world, in the marketplace ministry, must first of all become servant. So as leaders, we're called to be servant leaders. And the qualities of a servant leader are, first of all, they're compassionate, they're visionary, they're effective listeners, they're committed to building their team members, they have foresight, they see a problem that's getting ready to happen, and in their minds, because they're already visionaries, they have already delineated or they have already planned and have a strategy in place to make certain that this situation does not impede the organization's progress. Is that making sense?
Oh, yeah.
Because
you're right down there with it.
And so, yeah, and also a leader, an effective servant leader, builds other leaders. Okay?
Yeah,
we know that we see,
yeah.
And also we value our team members' expertise, because we know that the organization isn't about us. The organization is about the team, and about the team being happy, and about the team being motivated, and about the team being celebrated when they accomplish those goals. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's powerful. You know, you work on, and correct me if I'm wrong, you work on both ends of the spectrum, if I can say it that mildly.
Mm-hmm.
You work with organizations that's just, you know, just trying to get the leadership capacity to actually build that functional team. But then on the other hand, you say you actually help people, you know, educators. If we got something that's not performing that it should, I just say it that way, you help us get that
mm-hmm.
straight in 9 months or less. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's powerful. Kind of talk about those two dynamics, because, of course, that they are totally different, I'm assuming, but you'll correct us, because
mm-hmm.
if you already have something built and you want to correct something, that's a different situation from actually building an actual platform of leaders.
Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that I'm going to say, when I start working with leaders or building leaders' capacity, we take them through the Leadership 101 course. And with the Leadership 101 course, we help them to get to know that there is a leader inside. And we begin talking about the hidden leader that's inside of them. And I show them, I share the story with them how Hidden Figures, which was just released in January, actually came about and how the main character, Ms. Johnson, was a human calculator, a human mathematician in the 1950s, and how she was the first to integrate West State University, right? And how she was the first one to predict the trajectory of the first man to go into space, but no one knew that. She was a hidden leader, she and Miss Vaughn and the other character. And they weren't discovered or brought to the forefront until 2013 when President Obama acknowledged them. And so we began talking, getting the leaders to know and asking them the question, have you ever done something or created a product, shared an idea in your organization and did not receive credit? And everyone that we've worked with has said yes. And so that allows them to know that, yes, you are a leader. And once we get them to see that they are leaders, then we help them to learn their leadership style. We take them through the five leadership styles, which are laissez-faire, which is a democratic leader, which is a transformational leader, which is a transactional leader. And then there's another one that I can't remember right now. But listen to this, and we get them. There's a dictatorship leadership style, but that's not a correct term for it. And then we talk about all of the qualities for that particular leadership style. And we also allow them to know that depending on the situation, a leader is, you know, will have more than one leadership style, but one is more dominant. One is more dominant than the other. And then they take their assessment, and then we also teach them how to create a vision, writing their vision down, and then showing them how to share that vision with their stakeholders and writing a plan of who they need, writing down who they need to share their vision with. And then we also talk with them and help them to discover how to build a winning team, what to look for in a winning team. We know that leaders in and of themselves don't, you know, a leader doesn't know everything. A leader isn't strong in every area. A leader has weaknesses. But an effective leader hires individuals who compensate for his or her weaknesses. And then we talk about communication, getting them to know that interpersonal relationship skills are very important when you are in a leadership capacity. So now that's what we do for those individuals who are new leaders or are emerging leaders or seasoned leaders who have had a negative experience in leadership and their passion needs to be ignited. And then when we're talking about going into an educational system that's failing or a struggling organizational, it could be in corporate America or the school system. But I'm going to share the example with you of the school system because I'm an educator at heart, and it's the basis for my book. The first principle to creating a high-performance organization is this. You write your vision. Of course, that comes from Habakkuk, the second chapter. Write the vision down and make it plain. The organizational leader has to have a clear vision of how he or she wants that organization to work. And then he or she has to embody or exude the vision. And in the school systems, of course, when you're talking about a failing school, I knew that when I was the instructional leader of a failing school, I wanted every classroom to be a student-centered classroom. And so some people may be asking, what is a student-centered classroom? That's a classroom in which students are accountable for their own learning. They're the ones who are teaching. And the teachers are the facilitators of knowledge. And then the second principle is to share the vision with all stakeholders. In the school system, the stakeholders are the parents, the students, the teachers, the other administrative team members, the community at large, the State Department officials, and the local school district. So we shared that vision with them, letting them know that whenever you came onto the campus of Denmark Ola Middle School, that you were going to walk into a high-performing student-centered classroom. And then the third principle is you create a strategic plan of improvement that entails SMART goals. In the school system, we had a goal for each content area. We knew that 90 to 95% of our students were deficient in reading and math. So our goal was, and it was an astronomical goal, was that we were going to move 50% of our students to met, to either from not met, which means below average, to met or exemplary by the end of the school year, which is 9 months. And it's really not 9 months. it's really about 7.5 months of instruction, okay? And then once you have that strategic plan of improvement, you use that strategic plan to make organizational decisions, such as what type of professional development you need to offer your staff, what type of teachers you need to hire, what type of staff members you need to hire. And so the fifth step to creating a high-performance organization is that you hire the right team members. In the school system, whenever I interviewed teachers, we knew that we were interviewing teachers who had a proven track record of increasing student achievement. So the same is applicable in corporate America. You're going to hire people who have a proven track record of creating change. And the sixth principle is this. We offer staff development based on our goals. We knew that we had to change the teacher's paradigm in terms of how they taught. So we had to train them on differentiated instruction, which is providing instruction based on students, varying in the way that you teach students. It can be by content instead of lecturing using project-based learning. We also knew that we had to train them on how to analyze data and use that data to drive instructional decisions. And then once we provided the staff development training to monitored the implementation process, because oftentimes what happens is people go to staff development, leaders will send their staff to professional development opportunities and never follow up. But in the school system and in any organization that wants to be transformed, we were in the classrooms every day, several times a week, offering positive feedback as well as listing suggestions of improvement. And then the eighth principle is this: you celebrate the accomplishment. And for the students who met their academic goals, who moved from one level to the next level on the test, they received hands-on things like iPods, gift certificates and things, bicycles and things of that nature. The teachers received incentive bonuses that were like $1,500. Yeah, so those are the eight principles to creating a high-performance organization or transforming a failing organization into a high-performing one in 9 months or less.
Wow, that is powerful. And what I can glean from that is being organized is very important with that. Because in our area, we had one school that I know of had to go through that transformation. And it can be done. It can be done. You know how the old – I think I'm telling how old I am, and we used to have that don't leave no kid behind. You know, now they want to get rid of that.
No child left behind.
Child left behind. Yeah, I know here in Georgia they trying to, you know, get that off the books or whatever. But I know that it's very important to the kids, and you know this for sure because this is your area – teaching kids when I was coming up is totally different, I think, of teaching kids now, because one young lady shared with me that her school system is 80% homeless. You know, it's different criteria for that. But how can the kids even learn anything that they under this umbrella of being homeless, and then that means they don't, you know, have a choice of this, that, and that, especially in regards of shelter and food. So that takes a whole nother complexity for the teachers to actually be able to teach the kids when they have all those extra layers they have to deal with that, you know, we had them back then when we were coming up, but it's now it seems like it's more magnified.
Yes, it's more magnified. And you know what? The schools that needed to be transformed were high poverty schools, and they still exist today. And the one thing that I've learned about working in high-poverty schools and working with principals in high-poverty schools and their staff is this, that these students deserve the same quality education. And once you teach them a concept, they learn it. And these are the students who end up going to the Ivy League schools and the top-notch schools in the United States of America. So you have to look beyond the poverty, beyond the homelessness, and let me clarify. Let me back this up. First of all, when you're talking or dealing with children who come from impoverished situations, or they're homeless, You have to meet that need first. And what? How do we as educators, or how do we meet that need? We have to encourage the child, do our best to work with the family to try to help them get affordable housing for their families, okay? And then love them, still have high expectations throughout that entire process, and then offer them another alternative, ending that cycle in their lives, which is education, mm-hmm. which is why quality education is so important.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, I have to, you know, and I say this wherever I go, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a product of poverty, and God has blessed me to have that pushing, that, hey, that midwife or somebody pushing me, and they wouldn't let me, they wouldn't let me stop. So it can be done, because I'm a project of that. I've lived it. But, you know, I'm sorry. I just had to say that because people love to say this, that I had all the statistics on me, okay, and it can be done. But let me ask you this, because, Rebecca, I don't want to get off this broadcast, because, ladies and gentlemen, some other things she do that we haven't even had a chance. We're going to have to get her back. We had to get her back on here in regards of tell us, because we barely touched the book. I know we went through the principles, but tell us how we can actually, you know, get that actual, that awesome manuscript. And if you have anything that's coming up, you know, the rest of this year that we need to support you on, let us know about those things as well.
Okay, yes. Let me tell you, we do have several programs that we're currently offering, but let's go to the book first. You can definitely, if you're interested in ordering the book, you can go on Amazon.com and purchase it directly there, or you can inbox me and you can purchase it from me directly, because I have some individual copies. And in addition to that, we are currently offering for aspiring leaders and seasoned leaders, Leadership 101. And I went through the content for Leadership 101 when we were comparing how to work with the two leadership teams or leaders on opposite ends of the spectrum. And once students are finished with Leadership 101, then we immediately offer them, or a lot of them are signing up for Next Level Leadership. And with a Next Level Leadership program, it's a 4-week coaching program, and we focus on exposing them to branding. You know, I have some of my super friends who are partnering with me, and they're teaching on branding. Someone's teaching on content development. Someone's teaching on systems and automation. Someone's teaching on webinar development, and someone's teaching on how to become an author. So that begins, the Next Level Leadership program begins Sunday, March the 5th, and it's every Sunday for 4 weeks. And it's my beta program, so it's for a nominal fee of $197. The leadership program, Leadership 101, is $29.99, and that will begin 2 weeks after the next cycle will begin 2 weeks after the Next Level Leadership. So that's about the 20th of March. And so those are the things that we're doing. Yes, those are our offerings.
Well, that's powerful. We have to support you with those things. But, you know, we thank you so much for being a guest here on Good Deeds with us. But we got to know how to support you with your website. Give us your website, and also tell us how we can actually support you on social media as well.
Okay, yes. You can definitely support me by connecting with me via social media, the different platforms. You can connect with me, Rebecca B. Huggins, my Facebook page. I also have a Twitter account, Rebecca B. Huggins at Rebecca Leeds. You can connect with me, the Leader Circle community, which is our private Facebook community group for aspiring leaders as well as seasoned leaders, where we share resources and things of that nature. And my website is currently being rebranded. So you can it'll be ready within the next couple of weeks. And then you can just reach me via email for a speaking opportunity, leadercircle45@gmail.com. And then I also have a LinkedIn page as well, Rebecca B. Hubble.
Well, we just thank you so much for being in your purpose, and we thank you again for being a guest here with us on Good Deeds.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dr. Sunday. I so love you.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Woo, ladies and gentlemen, we had another powerhouse. See, that's power. But make sure if you missed anything about the contact information, we will have it on our social media, and we also have it on our website, the replay. Oh, we just love talking to powerful people, and all of us have a story, as you know, and all of us have a purpose. So we actually have to help each other. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, I have to say that I truly, truly thank you for supporting us here in Good Deeds, all the things that we have going on, and then we have some more things coming up the pipe. The thing is, if you don't, you know, I put a post up on by Martin Luther King. If you can't, you're not going to see the whole staircase. If you see the first step, step on that first step, okay, and keep the momentum going. That's why I always say, don't stop, get it, get it. I know that's a song that we danced to in the past, but the key is we got to keep moving forward, because God, and I'm saying God, will send the right people that you actually can get the things that you need, your resources, you know. And all people love to ask me, well, how do I know if this person is a good fit? You'll know, because you'll have peace about it. And if that is a mistake that you have done, don't worry about it. You got to what? Don't stop. You got to get it, get it. If you need me to help you with anything, please go to our website, which is ReneeSunday.com. All of our social media information is right there. You just click, boom, and you'll be there. You know, we got to do it with a spirit of excellence, right? Amen. But always remember, you do have a calling. You do have a reason, one, that you were born. You have a reason that you're here right now. You got to do the three things. You got to believe, you got to trust, and you got to walk it out. You got to don't stop. You got to get it, get it. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.